السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما، وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، وادخلنا برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين، آمين يا رب العالمين. So welcome everybody to another lecture inshallah on the fiqh of Tahara. We're almost at the end of the fiqh of Tahara. And again, we remind ourselves that fiqh of Tahara is from the ulum that is obligatory on every person who does not have this knowledge. Tamam. And inshallah, we always renew our intention that we are here to seek knowledge for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And bi'idhnillah, you are rewarded for every second that you hear. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who, when we leave this gathering, inshallah, all our sins are exchanged with good deeds. Bi'idhnillah, ameen ya rabbal alameen. So, last week we covered, what did we cover last week? Who remembers? Man yadhkur. What did we cover last week? Huh? When we don't have water, we have to do what? At-tayammum. So, last week we covered at-tayammum. Today, inshallah, we want to cover izalatun najasat. So, how do you remove impurities? Okay, if you have some kind of najasa or impurity on your thobe or on yourself, how do you remove that? Bi'idhnillah. And inshallah, next week we will finish fiqh al-tahara. We will do al-hayd wa nifas, and then we will do one day of review games. And then we'll have some prize, inshallah, and some food, bi'idhnillah. That will be in 2 weeks. And then we'll go into fiqh of salah. That's kind of the plan, bi'idhnillah. طيب. طيب, let's start. So, we always like to do our review, tamam. Because remember, the goal is to come here. You know, we don't want to come leave here with the minimum. The minimum that you leave with from a halaqa is what, inshallah? You know, your bad deeds into good deeds, صح? That's the minimum. That's a good minimum, alhamdulillah. But we want to aim for the maximum that we leave with as much knowledge as possible. And then when we go back to review it, so we don't forget it. Tamam? And of course, after you review your knowledge, to make sure that it sticks with you, what do you have to do? You have to apply it. When you apply the knowledge that you have, that's when it really sticks. Subhanallah. Right? You know, like when you were memorizing the multiplication tables, some of the kids here are doing multiplication tables. Uzir, you doing multiplication? Or you're done? All of it? The multiplication tables, you sit down and memorize it. But if you don't do problems, is it going to stick in your head? It's not going to stick. All the adults here, they know the multiplication tables. They haven't reviewed it, okay? But khalas, now over time, it becomes part of your own because they use it every day, technically. Whether you know it or not, you're using it every day. The same thing with knowledge. So, what is the at-tayammum? We mentioned ta'rif al-lughawi, the linguistic definition, and the technical definition. Who can tell us? It doesn't have to be perfect, but who can tell us what at-tayammum is? Uh-huh. Tafaddal, Muhammad. Huh? La, ta'rif, a'tina ta'rif. طب لغة, what's the تعريف, the linguistic? We said there's two kind of linguistic meanings. One of them is to intend something. We said from the ayah, وَلَا تَيَمُّ الْخَبِيثَ. Yeah? Do not intend the khabith, the low quality sadaqah. Right? It's talking about sadaqah. And also to remove something. طيب, التيمم, technically, we said it means what? Basically, okay, allowing yourself, okay, we don't remove impurity. We said tayammum, but allowing yourself to do whatever you're allowed to do with wudu, okay, through the use of the earth, by wiping the face and the hand. Pretty much that's the definition. It doesn't have to be exactly textbook definition, but that basically the definition of tayammum. So somebody asks you, what's a tayammum? Okay, you'll say it's something that we do. Okay, if water is not found, or we're not allowed, or we can't use water, okay. Where we wipe the face and the hands with dirt, okay? And that's it, هذا هو التيمم, very easy. طيب, what are the pillars of تيمم? What are the things that we need to have in تيمم? أركان التيمم. we have to, طبعاً we have to use the dirt dust, but what do we have to do? Like in wudu, we say we have to wash the face and the arms and the... So the face and the hands, okay? So the arkan of a tayammum are the face and the hands. We said in wudu, we also have to have the order. In ghusl, we don't. So if you have to do ghusl, right? You don't have to follow the order because they did qiyas, analogy on the ghusl of water. We don't have to follow the order. طيب. Good. See, now it's coming back, you know. Does tayammum remove ritual impurity? لا. Tayammum does not remove ritual impurity, right? It's istibaha for salah, or for Quran, or for whatever it is, until water is found, because it's a rukhsa, right? It's a concession. Is it obligatory to look for water before doing tayammum? So this is important. If you don't have water in front of you, okay, and it's time for salah, and you need to make wudu, you can't just say, oh, you know what? You know, the store, Abu Muhammad's store is, you know, 5 minute walk. I don't want to go do it. I'm just going to do tayammum. You're not allowed to do that. It's wajib for you to go look for water. Okay, and if you don't find it, now it's okay for you to use the earth. And طبعا we said you have to use earth that is permissible, that has some dust. Tamam? طيب. And that has not been used before for tahara. And the last question, what happens if someone cannot find water or earth or soil? What's he going to do now? He doesn't pray, right? Or does he pray? What happens? Huh? Yeah, he has to do the minimum of the salah. We're supposed to use water for wudu. I don't have wudu. I have to use water. طيب, I don't have water. I looked for water. I didn't find it. طيب, let's go look for dirt. There's no dirt. Or I can't use it. Maybe some people have hassasiyya, like allergy or... طيب, now what do? I don't pray? No, you have to pray. And we know al-salah, you have to pray it even during war. You know, fa-salah, you have to pray, you have to pray. Somebody says, well, I'm tired, I can't, I have a medical condition. You pray in whichever way you have to pray. That's why, that's how they use the analogy here. Because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, if there was a time to excuse salah is when? Is when you're in the middle of battle, right? Yeah, imagine you're in the middle of battle, but it's still obligatory for you to pray as-salah. Qiyas on that analogy of that, they said, no, you still have to pray, but you do the minimum because you're, ihtiraman for the prayer and the sanctity of the prayer. You do the minimum. You don't have to. You don't read Baqarah. And if you pray in this condition, you're not going to sit down and do all the tasbihat and do the du'as and right, because you're not technically in a state of tahara. You're just doing your obligation. طيب, جميل. Okay, let's start with izalat al-najasat. Okay, I don't know why my slide moved like that, but we're going to start with izalat al-najasat. طيب, al-najasa. What is the definition of najasa? If I asked you, what is a najasa, an impurity, how would you define it? How would you define a najasa? So some of the ulama, they had two methodologies. They said, does anybody want to give it a try? How would you define a najasa? This is something that we should know. Anything that has smell? Anything that has bad smell? Wallahi, that's a lot of things. Yeah? So is sweat that comes out of your body najis? So we need a better definition here. Some of the ulama, they actually list them. So they have two ways. Some ulama, they list them because they're listed from, there's things that are mentioned in the hadith and the Quran. Others, they try to look at all the things that were listed and create like a general definition. So when other things show up, you know, we can do it. So from the definitions that was mentioned is they say everything that is impermissible to touch, okay, يعني while you're able to touch it, يعني there's a najasa in front of me, it's impermissible for me to touch it, not because of its sacredness, يعني, or not because it's of its harm, or not because it's disgusting or it smells, just because we know from wahi or whatever it is that this is a najasa and it's impermissible. Majority of the ulama, they said it's impermissible to touch a najasa. This is important to understand. And if there's a najasa in front of me right now, okay, you're not allowed to touch it, unless darur. I don't know what a darur would be. I mean, there's a situation where you would have to maybe sometimes touch a najasa. Maybe you're cleaning someone, or when you're washing yourself, or whatever. But you're not allowed to touch it voluntarily like that. That would be something that is impermissible to do. طيب, so that's kind of the finish. So إزالت النجاسات, it's important because we always have نجاسة, right? We always have to deal with نجاسات, right? What are some of the نجاسات that you can think of? Day to day life. There's many, but you can't think of it right now. What are some of the najasat? Urine, like, you know, naam, pus, right? Al-qayh, what else? Vomit, menstrual blood, shukaman, so many dogs walking around. The dog, if they lick you, and the majority of the madhahib, the najis, صح? Khinzir, alcohol, all those things, they're najis, right? You know, like if somebody spills some alcohol on you, that's a najas. What do I do with it? Can I pray? Can I not pray? This is important, right? There's some urine on your clothes. Can I pray? Can I not pray? Okay. If it's little or it's a lot, طيب. Or so now the question is, how do I remove that najasa? You may say, khalas, now we're, alhamdulillah, we're spoiled, we can just... But what if you're in a situation where you can't remove your clothes or whatever it is? So the Hanabila, they say there's four ways to remove najasa. How many? Arba. Okay. So they say there's a najasa that is removed with an-nadh, sprinkling water. Right? What's the example of that that's mentioned in the hadith? Right? They say the urine of the young boy who doesn't eat. There's a hadith about that, the urine of the young boy who does not eat, مثلا. That one, you can remove it with an-nadh, or the vomit of the young boy as well. So that's number one. That can be removed with nadh. Nadh is sprinkling on it, like just kind of sprinkling on it. That's one way to remove a najasa. Some najasat, you have to wash it once, right? The example of what? We have the hadith of al-A'rabi. The Bedouin who came, right, and he urinated in the masjid. Imagine somebody just comes now and just urinates in the masjid. How do we purify that, right? Right? So it's one wash. طيب. We also have another way to remove najasa is seven ghasalat, ihdahunna bitturab. Seven washes, one of them with dirt. Which one is that? The kelb. We have hadith about the kelb. The saliva of the blood, of the dog, you have to purify it. Seven washes and one of them with dirt. Okay. Now, even on clothes. Well, the hadith talks about the ina. Okay, but the cloth as well. Okay, the cloth as well. Naam. We'll talk about it. That's a very interesting mas'ala, this mas'ala of the dog. It's a very interesting mas'ala, especially for the, you know, when you look at the opinion of the Malikiyya, or a portion of the Malikiyya, that say it's not najis, right? So if you see a Muslim with a dog, just assume he's Maliki or something, right? Have husn al-dhan for them. It's a very interesting mas'ala, and they have strong dalil. If you look at their dalil, they have strong dalil. But يعني, maybe we can discuss that later. And then they said the fourth way is seven washes without dirt. There's a weak narration about that of Ibn Umar. But يعني, so those are the four. So that'd be like everything else. تمام? Everything else. So we said either an-nadh, either one wash, either seven washes, or either seven washes with one of them with dirt. It's interesting. There's some buhuth. Research done by some of the students of knowledge and mashayikh talking about this mas'ala because it is related to medical. Ibn Hazm, but one of the mujtahideen a long time ago from the Maliki madhab, he said that anytime you see something seven in the hadith, it's something medical, you know. And it's interesting, يعني, if you were to look at it, a lot of the times that the number seven is mentioned in the hadith, it's something medical. There are some research that shows that the saliva of the kelb, you might have heard this somewhere, there is a bug or a bacteria or a type of yani that can only be removed with earth, with dirt, or maybe something similar to it. Tamam. And so that's why يعني some say this is the hikmah of this hadith. طبعا remember in the ibadat, in the acts of worship, there are things that are تعبدي. إيش يعني تعبدي؟ يعني we don't know the reason behind it. يعني Allah said pray four. طب يلا explain to me why four, why not five? It's this تعبدي, you don't have an explanation. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala مثلا tells you, don't do zina. We can look at the wisdoms of not doing zina. Right, alhamdulillah, there's lots of wisdoms. But here he says, you know, for before they say seven ghasalat, seven washes, one of them with dirt. Okay, what's the hikmah here? Some, they said, because it's what removes that bacteria from the dog. Remember back then, they didn't really have soap and whatever we have now. Okay, for nowadays, some of the chemicals that we use would remove it aslan. So you said, do you use dirt on your clothes? Well, if you don't have soap or chlorine or whatever else we use now that literally removes everything from that, it's like it's never been there, tamam, then that would be fine, right? So this is kind of like a mu'asir thing. But if you don't have it, like you don't have Tide or whatever you use, you know, in the middle of the woods or somewhere, and you have this najasa and this dog just comes and licks you, okay, you wash it seven times and one of them with turab, right? So, jameel. So those are the four ways. Type the ground, the walls, and their najasa can be removed by removing the najasa itself and its traces with water. Okay, so if you have a najasa on water, on a table, or on your phone, or whatever, really you just wash it, right? And like I said, the hadith of the A'rabi is a very important hadith, because if you guys remember the story, that this Bedouin comes in and he urinates in the masjid. What did the Prophet ﷺ say for the Sahaba to do? How did they remove the... what did they pour? Did they pour like liters of water? Like two qullas? What did they... How much? It was really like one wash, right? Like a barrel of water, one wash, and khalas. That was sufficient to remove that, right? As long as you remove the ayn, the main part of the najasa, it's fine, inshallah. So, okay... Eh, sah. Okay. So the disclaimer we make here is, as long as it's sufficient to remove the najasa. So let's just make it more clear. If it's removed with one wash, is it enough? It's enough. So if one wash is enough to remove the najasa, you can tell from the smell, from the look, then it's enough. But if you have to do more, then you do more. Does that make sense? So sometimes if a child here, or an adult, I don't know, urinates on the carpet, right? You know. In, on the carpet, it's a bit different. If we throw water, a bit of water, like one cup of water, it doesn't remove it, then you do it as much as you can until it's removed. Tamam? طيب. So a baby boy, in the hadith, we have the hadith about the young boy who does not eat. He doesn't eat yet, right? And so he just drinks milk, right? And does not really want food. Then the place of his urine, this is important, especially for mothers and people who have young children. What happens a lot when you have a young child? Right? He drinks water and then he has gas. What do you have to do? Nobody had children here before? Huh? Or it's all the mothers take care of, right? The mothers downstairs are like, yeah, okay, we know. But basically what you do is, you have to remove the gas, right? So what do? Yeah, you tap them. Yes, Muhammad, mashallah, take care of it. So you have to tap them, and then what happens? Sometimes they burp, sometimes they, right? So this vomit, is it najis? Here, no. Because it's most, يعني, it's almost 100% milk, right? It's almost 100% milk if it happens right there, right? Some of the ulama said if it stays a long time in the stomach, then it comes out, then it's najis. But for the boy that's under seven and does not require, does not eat food, then his vomit and his urine is fine. You can do nadh. You can do nadh on it, okay? Especially for the mashaqqa. This happens a lot with mothers and... You can smell, you can actually smell the milk, right, on the type. Same thing with formula. Yani same thing with formula. If he drinks formula and he spits it out of it, that's not najis. Yani because it came to his stomach and it came out, then it should be fine, bismillah. طيب, let's talk about the pig and the dog. So for the najasa of the pig and the dog, we said it must be washed how many times? The general rule, seven times, okay. They say, إِحْدَاهُنَّ بِالتُّرَابِ. They did qiyas of the pig on the of the dog on the pig, right? And generally now, okay, does anybody here do that? Nobody does that. Why? Because we have other material or chemicals that will do the same or even better. That will do the same or even better. Tell them. No, the baby girl is different. The baby girl's urine is different, but her vomit is the same. Yeah, because we have a hadith specifically about the urine of the young of the ghulam, of the young boy. The urine of the baby girl, an-nadh would not be enough. An-nadh, like just kind of like sprinkle on it, would not be enough. You would have to wash it. Some try to derive why, like some said because, like, hers like falls all in one place. It's a lot. Yani, we just kind of follow the rule. If you want to look for some ahkam, for some hikmah, some wisdom, maybe you could find the reason. So we said that it's done seven times. طبعًا, when you put the clothes in the ghassala, in the washing machine, how many ghaslat does it do? Anybody ever count? It's a lot, right? It spins many times. So that would be fine. And here they say that the soap will replace the turab. Okay, so you're doing more than seven ghaslat, but for the minimum. Like, because remember, the sharia is not just for us, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, we have a lot of things, we have a lot of khair. But let's say you're in, you know, you're in Sudan in the middle of the war, you're in Gaza in the middle of the war, you're like somewhere that you don't have much water, and you want to pray, and dog came and licked you or something. Okay, so you want to know the minimum. What's the minimum? Seven ghaslat, and some of it with turab, and you're allowed to. You're allowed to pray. I know for us, sometimes you don't appreciate these things, but the Sharia is for everybody. طيب. Jameel. The hadiths about the pig and about the dog, Afwan, some of them say one of them is with turab, and there's other narrations say that the last one is with turab. And I believe there's a narration that says the first one is with turab. Whichever it is, يعني, as long as you use the turab is for you. يعني. It's, like I said, some research suggests that the turab removes that. The water by itself will not remove that bacteria or that bug or that worm that's in the saliva of the dog. Some kind of worm or maybe one of you can do research on that, inshallah. طيب. So how do I know if it's enough now to remove a najasa? Just a regular najasa, let's say blood or whatever. How do I know that it's enough? We said the minimum is one wash. How do I know that's enough? طبعا, we have three indications, right? We have the color, the smell, and the taste. Color, smell, taste. طيب. Okay. So they say if color or smell remain, or both remain after washing to remove the najasa, then so if it remains there, then it's not been removed. So you have to do your best to remove it. Okay. But if there's some athar, like there's a bit of color. Okay, then it's fine if you've done your best to remove it. You know, like some of them, like they leave a small stain, tamam. Like for example, menstrual blood, for example. Okay, and we have we'll talk about small amounts. But let's say some fell and the person washed it as much as they can, and there's like a small kind of color change. Okay, and you've done everything to wash it, then it should be fine. Some of the Hanabila, they say that. For color and smell, okay, if they kind of remain a little bit, then it's fine. But they say for taste, no. طبعًا, I don't know who's going to taste the najasa, but they say because taste is stronger. So like if the taste remains, then you haven't really removed the majority of the najasa. And if you have a najasa on your cloth right now, if you wash it, you put water and soap, the main najasa, is it still there? The main najasa is not there. طيب. But there's some color and maybe a bit of smell. Because if you just used water, there might be a little bit of smell and a little bit of color. They said if you've done your best to remove it, then khalas, it's fine. You can pray with it now. Okay? But they say if the taste stays there, how are you going to know Allah? They never mentioned. But then it wouldn't be purified. But basically, if you've washed it and there's no more washing that can be done, then it should be fine. I think that's a better way to distinguish. Now. Provided we tried our best to remove it. Okay? طيب. Then another thing that they talk about, which is a common thing, is alcohol. طبعًا, alcohol can change to what? To vinegar. If you leave it, it can change to vinegar. This is a famous mas'ala in fiqh, the purification of alcohol, right? طبعا there's lots of questions. Can you actually have it with you to purify it? Can But here they say if alcohol turns into vinegar, this is a chemical يعني, process. If it happens by itself, nobody's doing it. يعني you're nobody came and actually did it themselves. If it changed by itself, then it's tahir now. The actual liquid itself and the container, okay, it's purified by itself, and there's ijma on this. يعني there's no ikhtilaf on this one. There's ijma on this. يعني there's consensus that it will be purified. But not if someone does the actual purification. And not if somebody actually does that, then that... Why? Why do they say that? Anybody can think of a reason? Anybody can think of a reason? طبعا, it's not... Is it permissible to hold alcohol? Is it permissible to hold alcohol? طيب, what can someone do? If someone does that, first of all, they're, if someone actually does it himself, يعني, takes the alcohol and then lets it turn into vinegar, then that would be something impermissible, and then many people will do it for like a financial gain. You understand what I mean? So that's why they said it wouldn't be classified as pure, يعني, as a deterrent for people to do that. That's one of the reasons why they said it has to happen by itself, okay? Because otherwise people will take the alcohol, which is impermissible, and then they will يعني, sell it for financial, once it turns into vinegar, and sell it for money and for financial gain. طيب. And then he says, if something najis chemically changes into something else, it is still najis in the madhab. Yes, the madhab, يعني, even if it chemically changes, then it's still najis. The exception here is alcohol. Some of the other madhab, they kind of did qiyas on the alcohol, and I think that needs a bit more research. When it comes to that field, because some of the things might chemically change. Anybody here a chemist or study chemistry or biology, right? So some of the things can change, and then its identity changes aslan through the chemical process, right? So then that I think that needs a bit more research. طبعا, remember that these opinions were back in the day without the help of science. But that's where science, alhamdulillah, can help with some of the rulings. So this would be something that's mu'asar, more contemporary. طيب, let's talk about things that absorb the najasa. Something that, like, you know, it's not, يعني, if najasa falls on this, it's a hard surface, okay? It'll just kind of wash off, wipe it off, right? I can remove it easily. But what about something that absorbs, like a tissue? Tissue would absorb the najasa, right? What do we do with those things? So he says that anything that soaks up or absorbs the najasa, it cannot be made tahir. Okay, even if it remains in its place for a while and changes into something else. So he gives the example here, grapes thrown into wine and then dried to become raisins. Okay, they are not tahir, hence cannot be eaten. Because the najasa has entered inside of it. Also like ad-duhun, right? Ad-duhun, like grease or fat, right? Yeah, duhun shaham. If najasa falls into it, you can't really remove it. It's kind of entered it, so you can't really purify that. طيب. This is an important mas'ala here. What about small amounts of najasa? What about small amounts of najasa? So they say it's overlooked if a small amount of blood, from a tahir animal comes onto something other than food or drink. Focus here. If a small amount of blood, this is asked a lot, okay, I have a cut, let's say I have a cut, okay, and it comes onto my, I don't know, my book or my clothes, okay, is this something najis now? They say anything that is small amount of blood, okay, that falls from a tahir animal, whether it's a human being or an animal, what's a tahir animal? A tahir animal, an animal that you can eat its meat, right, like a sheep or a goat or a cow or a camel, okay, then it's excused, it's overlooked. Yeah, and if a bit of blood comes onto your shirt right now, this is overlooked, okay, because of the mashaqqa and the difficulty, okay, as long as it's not food or drink. طيب, some blood from my finger falls onto this water, Is it pure or impure? Huh? It's fine, okay? But if it's a large, sorry. If some blood falls into this water, is it pure or impure? It's impure. Why? We said because water and drink are exception, okay? But if it falls on my cloth, small amount, it's fine, okay? So if some blood falls into this, okay, it's impure. If some blood falls into my, my cheesecake or something, okay? Is it impure? They said you can just remove the piece. Just remove the piece. You can enjoy the rest of the cheesecake. Tamam. This is the exception is for food and drink. Okay? Again, this is blood from tahir animals and human beings. Okay? طيب, what about blood and other things that fall from non-pure animals? So, a drop of blood from your cat. A drop of blood from your lion. Okay? Whatever, if you have a lion or tiger or something. Okay? That falls on your cloth. Is that najis or tahir? Huh? This is where we check if we understand the mas'ala. If blood from your cat, can you eat your cat? You can't eat your cat. طيب. Blood from your, I don't know, from your donkey. Okay? Can you eat a donkey? You can't eat a donkey. طيب. A blood from, like a spill of blood from your donkey falls onto your cloth. Is your piece of cloth now najis or tahir? It's najis because it's not a pure animal. Remember, we said that the excuse here, it's overlooked if it's a pure animal, okay, and it falls on anything except food or drink. They also mentioned that anything that comes out of the animals from the front or the back, like a vomit or whatever, or blood or feces or urine, that would be najis from an animal that you can't eat. But from an animal that you can't eat, then it's fine. What is the proof of that? We have the hadith of those Bedouins who the Prophet ﷺ told them to drink the what? The urine of the camels, right? So this was proof that the urine of the camel, an animal that we can eat, is what? Is tahir. But if his urine was not tahir, would the Prophet ﷺ tell us to drink it? Right? You guys heard of the hadith of you're supposed to take the milk and the bowl al-ibil and mix it, and apparently it heals any kind of intestinal problems. Has anybody tried it, by the way? Huh? I know people who have tried it and they can they'll swear on it. Well, I'm not sure how tasty that is. Taib, Jameel, but you can drink that. How do we know what's considered a small amount? It's up to you. You can tell if something is little. You know, if something is gushing, it's not little. If something just a few drops, it's little, it should be found. طيب. It says here, this allowance is restricted to small amount of blood from a pure animal and is not allowed from other types of najasa, like small amount of human urine. Yeah, so this is only allowed for blood from pure animals. But if a drop of urine falls on your cloth, then it's najis. Then it's najis. If a drop of urine, مثلا, then it's najis. How about the blood of the shaheed? The blood of the martyr. Is it najis? Huh? Do we take it off? Do we wash him? The martyr. Do we wash him? The shaheed. Do we wash him? Huh? No. So it must be what? It must mean that it's tahir. So they say that the blood of the shaheed, it is pure, okay, as long as it's on him and it's on his clothes. Once you remove it, it's najis. And if you remove it from him, plus now it's considered something that is najis. طيب. Let's talk about insects. طيب, insects, the general rule is insects that don't have flowing blood, they're considered tahir. Insects, hasharat, right, that don't have flowing blood. Like what? What are some insects? Huh? Huh? Ants, roaches, locusts, grasshoppers, all those things. Mosquitoes. Mosquitoes, when you hit it, sometimes there's blood. Is that najis? What do you guys think? Huh? It's a good question, actually. I was thinking about it today, and طبعاً here the rule that the madhab says that as long as it doesn't have flowing blood, that blood from the mosquito is from who? It's from you, like from Abdullah, from from Muhammad. It's from somebody, but it could also be from who? Who else? No, it could be from animals. Okay, and we said it's excused, right? We said small amount of blood, okay, is what? Is excused from a tahir animal. From a tahir animal or a human being. But what if he took blood from a pig or something? You wouldn't be able to tell, right? But that's a good question. Allah alam. But I think a minimum amount should be excused, yani, inshallah. Fleas, mosquitoes. Interesting here. What if the insect grew out of something najis, or the bug? Like we have bugs and animals and bugs and insects that grow out of najasat. Sah? Isn't that true? Sah? Can you confirm that? Like you have, I don't know, like a dead body or something and bug. Type. Would those be pure or najis? They say if it came out of something najis, it's najis. يعني إذا تولدت from something najis, okay, then it's najis. Do you guys understand the mas'ala here? Sometimes organisms, okay, living organisms, they come out of something najis. A najis place or a dead, a dead body or feces or whatever it is. And it comes out of that. We said generally the insects are fine because they don't have blood. But because they came out of something najis, then the hukum of them is najis as well. They'll also be najis. Tamam? And I think that's the last. Yeah, we'll do this one, inshallah, and we'll do the adhan. Other things, any consumable liquid intoxicant, any muskir that is liquid is what? Is najis. So alcohol would be considered a najis. Rubbing alcohol, that one is يعني فيه كلام. Because of a darura and other things like that. Even there's the mas'ala of mouthwash. Mouthwash, if it's najis, how can you use it? I think this would be a good question to tackle in detail. This is one of the, I guess, the contemporary questions that are mushkil. شوية مشكلة يعني. Because of the widespread use of it. Tamam. And some say because of, يعني it's darura to use it, okay. So some of them will excuse it for medical reasons, but for no other reason, then it wouldn't be excused. Wouldn't be excused. And if there's a substitute, like iodine or something, then that would be يعني preferred, inshallah. Yeah. Do you want to just wait like 2 minutes and then we'll do the adhan? Yeah, let's just wait 2 minutes and then we'll do the adhan, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Barakallah khair. طيب it's 37 or yeah 37 خلاص like 3-4 minutes inshallah we'll if you guys can bear with me. طيب, so also any birds that are not allowed to be eaten, and Nabi Sallam mentioned the birds that have fangs and they have they're not allowed to be eaten, so those would be also najis. And any animal that's larger than a cat, the Hanabila, طبعاً there's some of them label them by name, but we have the hadith about the cat. Anybody know how we know that the cat is okay? The Prophet was asked about the cat and its saliva, and he said no, it's from the tawafin. It's from those animals that are around you all the time, right? And so some of the ulama, they said, okay, well, from anything that's tawaf around us, okay, it's tahir, it's fine. Like what? Like the rabbits that are around us here, the squirrels, you know, those things, their saliva and stuff, they should be fine. And so they kind of used qiyas. They said anything smaller than the cat will be something around us. Something bigger than that will not be something that it's all around us, is running around. And so that's what they use. So in things like eagles, giraffes, monkeys, elephants, wolves, donkeys, foxes, lions, anything bigger, okay, and it's of course, it's not permissible to eat. Would be najis, all the snakes. What about rats? Mice? Huh? Al-fi'r, or al-jardun, you guys call that, some of you. Huh? They said it's because it's the size of a cat, it's from a tawafin, okay, from because of the mashaqqa here, it would be fine. And if a mouse ran over your whatever, inshallah you could eat it, but most of you probably not eat it. But we need to know the ruling for it. What about the milk and the feces and the urine of these animals? Like urine of a tiger, or or sperm of a donkey or something. Is that najis or tahir? Najis, because it's an animal that you cannot eat. Tamam. In the last mas'ala, they talk about like something that is common, like mud on the street, or snow. Like here we have snow in the winter. Always snow splashes on you. Type this snow might have a najasa, صح? Or the mud that you walk into, right? Might have a najasa. So they said if you know there's a najasa and it's a small amount, it's excused. Okay? Mud or snow that's mixed, right? There might be a najasa in it. Some of you live in neighborhoods where people have a lot of dogs and they walk them, and sometimes there's they urinate all over the side and stuff like that. If a small amount of that snow comes on you, right? It's like you're not sure, then it's excused, small amount, tamam? Or mud or snow. But what if you're not certain? Then it's fine. If you're not, because otherwise what? Anytime some dirt comes onto you or some snow comes onto you, then you're going to be waswasa, it's going to be najis. So alhamdulillah, sharia excuses that. And so if some mud from the street or whatever it is, yani, in the winter when the snow melts, you know, there's the it's not dirt, but like the salt that melts and it's like really dark color, if that splashes onto you, right, or it rubs off you in the car or whatever it is, then that should be fine. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. We'll stop here. Next week inshallah we will cover al-hayd, menstrual blood, and al-nifas, and inshallah that will be the end of fiqh al-tahara. Barakallahu fikum. Sorry to go over time. And we'll do the adhan right now. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.